On this episode of the Dudes and Dads podcast, we're talking with our friend Randy Black about resiliency.
And now...
Joel.
Ooh.
I hit the wrong button.
Threw me a curveball.
you thought it was time for the Dudes and Dads pop quiz already.
We catapulted from the beginning of the show to the immediate end of the show.
Randy is over here sweating because we were going to start with it accidentally.
Yeah. Randy's like, what? Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dudes and Dads podcast. Glad to have each and every one of you along for the ride, particularly as Andy's microphone is falling off the table. Yeah, we just got these great mics, and it is working its way literally off the side of the table. That's fun. Hey, thanks for everybody for coming along with us. Looking forward to a good conversation this evening. And, you know, more importantly, just as we got on, the Detroit Lions were up 3-0 over the Chiefs. So that's really what everybody's concerned about. I wore my new Lions...
I'm back, I think.
I've transferred. So, Andy,
Okay, there we go.
I had to say goodbye to my Detroit Tigers as they worked their way out of the postseason playoffs. And so what I do is I do a ceremonial removing of the Tigers cap and I put on the Lions cap and we move into football season. And it's okay. But I did
have... No offense, but I'm hoping that the Chiefs win.
Of course you are. No, that's totally fine. As is Aaron is too. And, you know, yet again... Yet again, my children are against me. I can't get anybody just to join the same team as me. Andy, what's going on, man? What's cooking?
What is cooking, man? It's been a busy couple of weeks. I was out of town. You were out of town.
You've recently returned from Sleeping Bear Dunes.
I have. So I did a camping trip with the men from church to Sleeping Bear Dunes, and
which is for viewers is located up here. Yeah.
What I realize is I'm old and I shouldn't do this. So let me tell you a story.
I'm excited to hear. I feel like you're going to tell me the story that was alluded to earlier today.
Well, a little bit. Okay. So what happened was, I don't know, a couple of years ago, we went past there and did we didn't camp there, uh-huh. but we went into the little town.
A little sightseeing.
Yeah.
And, in the region.
And so there's the dune that you park at the bottom and you climb your way up to the dune and then you can come back down. I remember thinking then, and that was several years ago.
Yep.
I am too old and out of shape to do this. Like this you is not
that at the time.
You at the time. That. Right.
Okay.
And so for some reason this time when we parked at the other dune where you park at the top.
Yes.
And you go down to the lake.
Sure.
And then have to climb your way back out because there is no way back out except That's for right. back up out of the dune. I was like, hey, I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For some reason, I was tricking myself that I was healthier than I was however many years ago.
Yeah. I love your false sense of...
That was dumb. First off, I want to give a shout out to Kevin Lehman, no relation to myself, but he stuck back with me.
Attaboy, Kevin.
I don't know if he really needed to or not. I don't think he did. I think he did it for me because I really seriously thought I was going to die up this dune. It's 450 feet back up.
It is a trek.
Or 400, whatever, up. But it's at a 45 degree angle. It's ridiculously straight. And I could
you can't really just walk up.
Back no.
Up
so it. If I had a walking stick, it might have helped. But I had on all fours crawling up this thing. You take four steps up and then your legs would burn and you'd slide a little bit back down because of the sand. It was. Yeah.
It's mentally taxing as well. When that's happening.
And then, yes, near the top of the dunes, I proceeded to lose my breakfast.
Yeah.
And
listen, if you've not climbed a dune and puked, you're not really climbing dunes hard enough.
I'm not doing it again.
That's but Andy has agreed to never do it again. No, yeah, it's our good friend Greg has also said when we do these last year for our Tetons trip, he recommends dune climbing for us lowlanders out here in the Midwest.
But here's the thing: did he climb that dune? No.
Oh,
he sat back.
Oh,
so Greg, I'm calling you out on that.
Shots fired.
Anyways, Randy, Greg, have you ever climbed a dune?
Just at the beach, like at Myrtle Beach. And it's not fun. It is not enjoyable.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well,
I have a hard enough time just walking in the sand as it is. So it's not fun.
Sure.
Well, welcome, Randy, to the show tonight. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here, guys. I'm glad to join you.
Thank you. Yes. Well, Andy, you, once again, for listeners, some of you know this, some of you don't. Andy has a wide array of friends out in the podcast verse that he connects through with his various, not just the Dudes and Dads podcast, but his podcast answers and all the places, the crevices of the podcast world, if you will.
Yes.
And so this is how our new friend, Randy has come to us this evening somehow, some way. Is that right, Andy?
That is correct. So Randy, it is good to have you here. We met, just through different podcasting groups and connected.
Podcastindex.social, Facebook, you know, we've connected, and you're the guy that showed me how to use Loopback to use the virtual channels on the Rodecaster before Rode put their app.
Right.
So, we got that connection going, man.
All right. I remember that now.
Wow. Nice.
And nice. Joel's eyes are glazing over because he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Show up and talk.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just,
not as big of a geek as we are.
Correct.
I'm glad you all exist though. I'm glad you're out there. You're doing, the Lord's work with the podcast tech. I guess my question is, and again, listeners, I literally showed up tonight and Andy was like, we had talked about Randy being on, and, he's like, here's the deal. So I'm mostly flying blind, and that's what's exciting about tonight.
Well, let's first start, Randy, with your dad stats. So we like to get the dad stats. Who are you? How many kids do you have? Are you married?
All the things you want to share with the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Randy.
I am the proud father of a 17-year-old who, as a senior, decided he was going to join the marching band. He hadn't played in band since he was in seventh grade.
Yes.
So, but it all came about in a good way. His band director I've known for 25 plus years because he did his student teaching placement my senior year in high school, friends with the guy. And my son actually was in the jazz band first because they need a guitar player.
Gotcha.
Great kid. Got his license recently. Cost me a bunch of money on car insurance.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared of it, Randy. I'm scared of it.
Yeah. The thing I don't enjoy about it, though, is that I am a divorcee, so he does not live with me. Mm-hmm. So I, the time with him is not as much as I would love to have. I miss him all the time. Mm. I am remarried to a wonderful woman, wonderful Christian woman, who is actually the person who got me back on track in life and got me back into church. I'm a trustee at our church, so I've come around in the last couple of years with that. I tell everybody one of the proudest things of my life is my son.
Yes.
So amazing.
Amen. That's good. For us, fellow band, marching band parents, Randy, see up here, I've been informed, marching band's a big deal here in the state of Indiana, like a real big deal. Mm-hmm. And then our close competitors, and they would say it's not even a comparison, is the greatest state of Texas. They also bring a lot of marching band, whatever.
Oh, don't forget about Ohio.
You feel like the Ohio. See, we never compete.
My son just competed yesterday at Ohio State at Ohio Stadium.
Okay.
So it was, for him, he said it was the most all inspiring experience of his life.
Yeah.
Because the way that stadium just, the sound and the way the echo and the acoustics are. Mm-hmm. He said it was the most amazing thing. I'm like, man, the biggest stadium I ever marched in is Marshall University in Huntington, which is where I actually went to school.
Yeah.
It was only 30,000 seats. So it's nothing compared to Ohio Stadium. So I was kind of jealous that he got to do that.
That's exciting. Yeah. A fellow band parent. Wow. And what does your son play, by the way, just out of curiosity?
He's playing saxophone for marching band.
Okay. Nice.
He's also playing saxophone in the wind ensemble. And he's playing guitar and jazz band.
Good for him.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So as we talk a little bit about resiliency tonight, let's just talk a little bit about, Joel, I know that you've experienced some things in life. I've experienced some things in life where it's taken some resiliency, with us losing Macy and all of the heart or all of the medical, there we go.
Yeah.
Issues that we've had with some of our kids. Like it's definitely taken some time to be resilient.
Yes.
So yeah, let's just talk a little bit about resiliency.
Yeah, this is one of the, I think, traits that we can sometimes, when we talk about, I think it can be a little bit vague. And though I think as parents in particular, if I want to talk about resiliency, the first place that my mind goes is raising resilient children. Mm. That seems to me like that's the first thing that comes to mind. But then again, I think it's also very difficult to teach your children and to raise them up in something that you yourself may or may not feel terribly strong at any given time. And, yeah. and like, even in my, I think in my like professional coaching work, you know, like we do definitely talk about resiliency. If you're, mm-hmm. if you're in any sort of role where you're leading people or leading an organization or working with folks, it's only a matter of time, right? Until something comes your way that really can feel like it's going to take the wind out of your sails. It catches you off mm-hmm. guard. And then you're left with this sense of how are you going to come back from it? And so I don't know. The resilience conversation, I think, is really, really great. I think we have to think about, like, mm-hmm. how do we build it, though? Because I don't know if we're all just naturally terribly resilient.
Right.
We're not.
Yeah.
We're not at all.
Yeah.
Resiliency is not an innate skill.
No.
You have to learn how to be resilient.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts with a single decision. When you get knocked down, you've got to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
When you make that choice, you're building that skill set. Mm-hmm. You can't let the setbacks be the end of whatever the process is.
Mm-hmm.
So the setbacks, they're not the end. They're the invitation for you to step up and to grow and become stronger and become wiser, because you have no control over the circumstances usually in life,
mm-hmm.
but you can control your response.
Mm-hmm.
You have that ability to decide, what am I going to do now that life has knocked me down?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do? Am I going to set back and lay on the ground and be beaten up? Or am I going to get up on my feet, dust myself off and move on
mm-hmm.
and learn from it? Because I hate to say it, but pain, and you know, a lot of times resilience comes out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teacher. It's yeah. not a punishment.
Yeah.
It's hardships help us to understand what we're made of and what we can be, mm-hmm. what we can ultimately become.
Yeah.
We have to find strength that we didn't know we had, because we don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
It's the only way we can do it.
Right. Well,
so go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting that we talked about the dune climb that I did, because I think, well, this isn't like a resilient thing. It kind of wasn't. It reminds me what you're saying there, Randy. Like, you have to, like, I kept falling down and I had to physically make the choice.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mostly because it was going to cost me like $3,000 to get the rescue team.
They're
down.
Very clear at the, yeah. cause there's a big sign at the top. They're very clear that either you get yourself out or if someone has to be called,
it's going to be expensive
for
you.
There will be yeah. an expense. Yeah.
And so for yeah. me, like I knew that I had, like, I purposely remember sitting there like halfway up this dune and going, I can't make it. Like, this is a stupid choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to die here. So, like, what I was thinking, yeah. even though I knew it wasn't true, but yeah. like I had to get up and I had to make that choice to just do three more steps, four more steps.
Right.
And if I had to stop, I had to stop and rest.
Yeah.
But I had to make the choice to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the, I think that's the story that we hear so often, is that skill is developed through intentional decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
And sometimes we're just forced into it. Like, there, you know, to a certain degree, it's like, well, your little dune outing there, you know, you made a decision, whether or not you knew the full ramifications of your decision is one thing, but you made a decision and it's like, okay, well, now that I'm here, I have no other choice but to do this. The other side is when something comes to us that, you know, that knocks us back, that we don't see coming, that's kind of outside of our immediate, it's not directly connected to a decision that we have made.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And, you know, Randy, I just think about, so often, it is that it's that scenario where we really have an opportunity to actually become a victim in it, and to sort of read that experience through victimhood or woe is me, or mm-hmm. I can't believe this terrible thing or this injustice has been done to me, so on and so forth. I just think that the moment we start getting into that place, now we're losing an, like, to your point earlier, like, we are losing an opportunity to get back up and to be better. Right. And, you know, I would hope for any of us that, you know, that wouldn't be the case. Although it feels like culturally right now, we have a lot of invitation to be, to kind of sit there in our own pain and go, oh,
yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah. So,
you know, go ahead. The idea that resilience isn't about avoiding failure,
because mm-hmm.
you're never going to avoid failure. And failure is an amazing learning tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, several years ago, and I have a picture of it to this day, I opened up a fortune cookie at a Chinese restaurant in Huntington, West Virginia. And that fortune cookie slapped me across the face with a little piece of paper, because it said, failure is feedback, and feedback is the breakfast of champions.
Ooh.
Mm. All right.
That's resilience in a way. If right. you let that failure end the discussion, you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take that failure and use it to build and to learn and to grow, you won.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Randy, tell me about a time here recently. I mean, as you're thinking about resilience building experiences, where has that kind of connected with you recently?
Well, I launched a podcast on July 1st with a gentleman that I've known for 30 plus years. I met him when I was in high school. I was 15 years old, and he was speaking at an event at a retreat event that I was at called Teen Institute. And I can't tell you what he said, but everything in his message was about positivity. And then I go and do my student teaching 7-8 years later, and I'm teaching at the same school that he's at.
Mm.
And I eat lunch with him every day and became friends with him. And then 2009 or so, we end up teaching at the same school and got to be really close and friends there. And we parted ways because I changed schools and changed districts and stuff. But we came back together in 2018 and got closer. Jim Clayton was an amazing individual, most positive man I've ever met in my life. And we started a podcast called Shooting It Straight. You can find it at shootingitstraightpodcast.com. Cheap plug.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
But Jim, and I found out in December of 2024 how sick Jim really was. Jim was suffering from stage 4 colon cancer and had been going through chemotherapy, ultimately went through chemotherapy for 3+ years. The cancer, though, it didn't beat him. It didn't beat him down. He kept fighting, kept pushing through. He was the inspiration for me with some of my own health issues, because I've been suffering from anemia, to go and get things checked, you know, where I'm at that age where the colonoscopy is discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim and what he had to go through was my inspiration to, you know, you really need to agree to go do this. Don't push it off. You need to go get everything checked. But we started that podcast. I got very, very close to Jim, and closer than we were. We talked every single day, and it wasn't always about the podcast. And then we recorded September 4th, finished up that night. And like we do every night, he has his dog with him, because we recorded upstairs at his business. He came out, his dog went and did his business. And then, as we do every night, I say, love you, brother, and either get a fist bump or, you know, quick handshake. One of those, you know, I'm going to say it because both of you are going to know what I'm talking about. That quick grab a hand, tap your brother mm-hmm. on the back, say, I love you. You know, that guy hug that everybody does. This night was different. He embraced me. Mm-hmm. He grabbed a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he loved me.
Mm.
And it was the last time I ever talked to
him. Oh, wow.
That next week, he went into the hospital with a gallbladder inflammation and infection that had actually gotten into his bloodstream.
Oh, wow.
And he went into sepsis. They did surgery to remove the gallbladder, but he never woke up.
Wow.
And it was just over a week later that he passed away. And working through all of that, mm-hmm. Dealing with, you know, the man who had, you know, in the 11 episodes we had recorded, and the time leading up to that, preparing and working together, was my best friend, and I lost him.
Mm.
It's been hard because I want to keep it going, because I want Jim's memory and Jim's, you know, ideas and things to keep going. And it's been hard to bounce back from it, mm-hmm. from what's happened from that loss. But I've been fortunate that I've gotten to be friends with his daughter.
Oh, wow.
And his daughter wants to pick up the mantle and run with it.
Oh,
and she wants to keep doing the show. So, you know, that's making it easier.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew how much I could have an impact on someone until Jim Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it came time to start preparing things to help with, you know, I told his family, I'm here, whatever you need. I helped write his obituary. I spoke at his funeral. I've never spoken at a funeral in my life. I've never done anything like that. And it was because his family wanted me there. They wanted me involved because they knew how close he and I had gotten so quick. Like we'd been friends forever, but we had not been that close to where we were talking every day. So it's been a hard thing, and I've been bouncing back from it. And a lot of that has been because he and I spent 7 episodes talking about resilience and resiliency and those ideas that he shared, not just with me, but on the podcast. I've been able to take and use in my own life to move on from this, not move on, but to use it as a means to bounce back. And that's one of the things he always talked about. He talked about the bounce back mentality. The idea that, because he was a basketball coach, he actually was the individual who started the first private basketball academy in the United States back in 1992. He taught Michael Jordan some things from his shot to make his shot better. I mean, Jim was just, he worked for Nike. He was amazing. But that mentality that he helped me to learn and to see and develop in that short time is what helped me get to this point where I'm at right now.
Sure. So what are some of the things that you know, you said you did several episodes on resiliency. So what are some of the things that you guys talked about in those episodes that would help us to be resilient men?
Well, the most important point I can pull out from it is that resilience isn't self-reliance. It's not on having all the knowledge yourself. It's not on picking yourself up on your own. The biggest thing is it's God reliance. It's reliance on with your faith, that your faith is the foundation. Without that belief in whatever it is you believe. So, I mean, if you're a Christian, great. If you're a Muslim and you believe whatever that higher power you have is, that faith that you have brings you up and will help you to handle all these situations. You know, we had a great episode where we had Dr. Brad Miller. I don't know if you guys know who Brad Miller is. Brad does a podcast called Cancer and Comedy. Brad, and he's the organizer for Pod Indy that's coming up soon.
Okay.
Brad found out that he had cancer right before Christmas a couple years ago. And his immediate reaction was to laugh. Everybody's like, yeah. Laugh? He's like, yeah. Because humor has that healing power. And we talked with Brad about that and the amazing things that he shared with humor, the humor and gratitude. They're powerful things that can lead you on the way. Laughing doesn't deny pain for anybody, but it gives you the breath that you need to endure that pain and to move on and to get better. And the gratitude, the idea there shifts your focus from what's broken over to what's beautiful. It changes your mindset. It doesn't erase the storm in any way. Laughter is not going to clear that up, but it lets you ride it out. It lets you get past that storm. One of the amazing things that we got when we talked to Brad and spent the time with him, you know, one of the big things is adaptability. The ability to take what's happening to you and adapt to it is strength. It's not a weakness. Resilient people don't just push through. They don't just make it through. They know when to pivot. They know when to make the move when it's necessary. You know, a great quote that I pulled and used was from Robert Schuller. I don't know if you guys who Robert Schuller was. He was an American televangelist, had the Crystal Cathedral out in California, and it had a show called The Hour of Power. And Schuller had a phrase that we've all heard, we all know, and it sums up a lot of things about being resilient. It's that tough times never last. Tough people do. So if you have that, you know, if you know what it means to be tough, if you could be tough in a meaningful way, not a superficial way, a meaningful way, a way that allows you as a person to grow, to stay grounded, not pretending that everything's okay, you're going to make it. Quiet strength matters. It's a big deal.
So how is one way that you pivoted, that you had strength when, especially like when you found that Jim was sicker than you thought he was.
When I found out how sick he was in December, I sent him a message and I said, hey, been a while. We haven't talked much. I just found out, you know, how sick you are. I want to come see you. And he has a business in a town just up the road from me. And it's actually in between my house and where I go to work. So I said, what days are you there? I want to come by. And he told me I'm here on these days from four to whatever. I said, okay. So on my way home from work, I went to Sports City U, his business. And I walked in and I hadn't seen him for a while. And the chemotherapy and the cancer had just taken a toll on him. He was down 60 some pounds since the last time I'd saw him. And he's still out there on the basketball court, still coaching kids, helping them on their shot, helping them on their steps. He was Jim. And I saw that and I realized if Jim's out here doing this and he's as sick as he is, I've got nothing to complain about. I've got nothing that should be holding me back. But the most important thing that happened that day with Jim was I said, look, if you don't want me to do this, you say no, and I'm going to go home and do it anyway, but I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. And I put my arm around him and I stood in the middle of the court in his basketball court there. And I prayed with him and, you know, asked God to touch him and to heal him and to do whatever was in God's will, you know, because we don't know what that is. We don't know what God wants to happen. We don't know what he's going to allow to happen. But I asked for God to touch him in some way. And it helped me to reopen that door and build that friendship back up with Jim. Because we hadn't talked for a while. But it allowed me to see things in a different perspective very quickly. And it wasn't long after that, he sent me a text. He said, hey, remember that podcast I said I wanted to start back in 2018? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm ready. I want to do it. I need your help. I said, okay. So we started looking into it, talking about it. And that man was just, he was on it. He had it. He was ready to go. And I loved every second of it with him because he taught me so much in such a short amount of time with his ideas and his viewpoints and the way he looked at things.
Joel, let's take a little bit this on as parents.
Yeah.
How can we teach our kids resiliency? Like I think obviously showing them that is good. And I like really, Randy, what you had said about being positive during the negative times. And I think that can be something really easily that we can transfer over to our kids, because I think we've all gone through hard times as adults, as parents. You know, sometimes it's the fact that we don't have the money to pay our bills, or the car isn't working, or the thing that we were going to go do got canceled because of rain, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, we can show our kids a positive attitude. We can show our kids that reframe this from this sucks to what are we going to do about this?
Yeah. I've got a disabled vehicle right now, and this is like the third major thing that has gone wrong with it. And I'm not feeling terribly resilient. My children would tell you that that's very clearly bothered me to a deep level, and it's just super inconvenient and problematic. But, this is something, I mean, it's something as we're talking about this, it's like, I really feel like I need to get better at finding the kind of the teachable moment in difficulty and trying to give I think a more elevated perspective on it. Because that's partly how you're modeling, right? Like the reframing of a problem into an opportunity in your mind and mentally doing that, mentally choosing to do that and demonstrating that, especially to our kids. All of my kiddos are in one sport or one activity or another. And that's something that you're going to face. We have conversations about using the word can't things like that, where a challenge has come to them that they don't feel that they can overcome, and paying attention to the language that they're using around that challenge and like taking those kind of thoughts captive. Cause I'm just like the negative woe is me thing. I don't know. I've encountered enough people like that. And it's just like, that's not what I want for like my kids.
Yeah. You know? I think for me, I don't always do a great job at that. Like for me, I get very set in my ways. Like if something changes, it throws me off. It makes me really frustrated. And yeah. I think I don't do a great job at looking at the positive things for them and being kind of that bounce back. I just get almost very grumpy, which is not something I want to teach my kids.
I feel the grumpiness.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. The grumpy thing is, man, that comes so naturally. And difficult things are going to come. When I see my kids, like the things that I'm thinking about right now are, continuing to make sure that my kids are doing hard things and that they are on a semi-regular basis failing at something, you know,
you purposely make them fail
100%.
You have to let kids fail.
They never
learn if you don't let them fail. That's coming from a former teacher. You have to let a kid fail sometimes.
Well, I was just going to say, then, you know, being in education where you're also dealing with parents who are terrified of their children failing or can't possibly imagine that their child would fail, or if their kid is close to failure, trying to find a way to avoid the pain or the difficulty of that.
Well, and I think that's even more prevalent in our society today. I mean, cause you have this like Instagram culture where everything looks neat and framed. And so like, if you're not the prettiest thing on the block, like you think you failed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, it's like, I'm constantly looking out for and thinking about if there is like a success to fail, like an appropriate success to failure ratio within, you know, within my kids, like, cause there is a sense in which, being just having kind of, you know, regular and routine successes without any kind of pushback is really just forming them into the kind of people that, I probably don't want to hang out with, you know, later in life. Andy and I talk about this frequently, like, you know, just, you know, we're trying to raise kids we want to hang out with when they're adults, right? Like that's a serious goal of ours, because they're going to spend more time with them as adults than we do with them as kids. And I think they're the bounce back ability, overcoming adversity, again, back to the resilience, like seeing those things as opportunities, I think, you know, I think's good. And I'm, as I'm sitting here thinking, it's like the thing that I probably need to work on the most is just like having a better strategy for how I'm responding to, like, when I hear my kids like with negative talk, if they've encountered a challenge or, I was listening to some clip from one of my he's an interesting character, Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
He was talking about how his dad would really struggle anytime he heard his boys use the word like "I can't." Like when he said "I can't," he goes, and his dad's response was, "Are you sure you can? Or are you just having trouble?" You know, that's how he would talk. Like, you're just having trouble, right? And you know, and then really, really like holding tight to the idea that sort of language and that sort of like an immediate like "I can't do this" was really just setting them up for failure. It was really just setting them up for the kind of life that wasn't full of opportunity, that didn't see life as full of opportunity. And so I need to take more stock in that, I think, you know, in terms of how I'm encountering. Guys, at this stage of life, man, it just there's days where it's just like, yep, not a single thing went right today. And I'm walking into the house after work or whatever it is, and I'm sharing my "not a single thing went right today" vibe with you know, with my kids or whatever. And then, you know, and probably in a certain way teaching them like the opposite of the resilient mindset and attitude that I want them to embrace. So yeah, good things to think about.
Yeah.
Need to pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, we're all Christians. So let me throw some scripture at you.
Sure.
That we can use with our kids to teach them, you know, a little bit about this idea. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. It's the Apostle Paul telling us that, you know, he's teaching us that resilience involves recognizing the reality of pain while we're holding on to hope and onto God's sustaining power. And if we can instill that in our kids and build that for their faith, they're going to be resilient. They're going to find a way. They're going to use that relationship with God to be able to do it. You know, and I'll pull out the classic that everybody talks about and everybody uses when they talk about knowing and having strength through God. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You know, it's quoted all the time. It's resilience in action. It's the idea of if we have the faith, if we can hold on to that faith and trust in God, then it's going to move us beyond the idea of self-reliance, and we're going to tap into that strength and we're going to become resilient.
So good. Yep. And there's, that when it comes to even our kids and to our marital relationships or whatever it might be, going to that place of where we actually find our strength and where we find our footing. It's just so easy to forget. It's so easy to overlook. And, it's like, well, you know, I routinely marvel at the folks that are, you know, that are not people of faith per se. And it's like, man, when hard things come their way, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you look to there. You know, I don't know where, you know, what I think it's easier to look to things that don't last or that don't hold up, for strength in those times. You know, for us, it's, I just feel really, it's a fortunate thing. I feel really blessed.
Let me share with you something that Jim shared with me, and it can be shared with anybody, and I will send it to anybody who wants it. And it's the four pillars of resilience. And the first of those four pillars is mental. It's about having clarity, about having a mindset that allows you to grow and allows you to bounce back. Second one is physical. So having your health in order, getting the rest you need, being able to recover so that resilience becomes a tool in your toolkit for life. It's about the social, about having the support systems. And that can be family, that can be friends, that can be, you know, there are times in life where we have to talk to somebody. So it could be a therapist. It could be, for a student, a counselor at their school. It, you know, whatever that social support system you have, somebody to talk to help you understand where you're at, what you can do to move past it. And the last of those four pillars is spiritual. It's having a purpose built in belief and having guiding values to keep you on the right path. Great things that Jim taught me and shared with me. We talked about it on the show, and it's something that I don't forget. And I'm trying daily to remember those things so that I can use them and apply them when I hit a roadblock, when I hit a setback, so I can do better and I can grow and I can be resilient.
So good. So good. Yeah. I think, Jim sounds like a pretty cool dude. Sounds like a good coach. Somebody that's awesome.
His whole thing was built on, he had a brand. And it was built on believe, achieve, motivate. And he took that and he shortened it. And this is what he would always say. And this is Jim's voice.
Bam, son.
Believe, achieve, motivate. And it was the whole key of everything we tried to do in this show. It's the key of everything he tried to do. And when I gave the speech I gave at his funeral, I talked about how we all needed to embrace that. We needed to work to keep those ideas forward in our own lives, so that we could continue to be positive and grow and be like Jim was. And the greatest thing I learned about Jim through everything was that Jim knew Christ and Jim had a relationship with Christ and with God. And I know I'm going to see him again. And I get to walk up to him in heaven. I'm going to say, hey, bam, son.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, Randy, we really appreciate you coming on today and talking about resiliency and resilience and sharing Jim with us. Like, it sounds like Joel said, it sounds like Jim was a very special guy.
Cool dude.
Yeah. And I really appreciate the fact that you have his voice and that your podcast ready, yes. And you could bring that to the show. That's with you. Right.
Yeah. Well
done. And for the services and everything, his wife, sweetest lady, one of the sweetest ladies I've ever met. She said, "Can you pull audio together with something?" And I went, "Yes." Mm-hmm. And I made a shared album on iCloud, and his daughter started uploading photos, 400 and some photos in there. I found a license-free piece of music. And I laid Jim's voice in there.
Oh, wow.
And it played throughout the visitation service. It played before his funeral service. And it allowed people to hear Jim one more time as they said goodbye. But, you know, the thing that caught me the most when I started going through those was in 2018, he was on a podcast with me that I did back then. And I didn't remember that I asked him this last question. And that was, what do you want Jim Clayton to be remembered? And he proceeded to talk about, if I had to write my eulogy in one word, I couldn't do it. And he shared four.
Mm.
He talked about he was passionate. He was consistent. He was caring. And he was positive. And that was Jim Clayton. And that's what I built my speech talking about Jim at his funeral. It was those four ways, pulled in scripture and talked about it, related it back to everything with him. At the end of his life, he was my best friend, and I miss him dearly every day. I'm glad that I've been able to build relationships through knowing him. You know, guy who was the head coach at Marshall University, which is where I graduated with my undergraduate at one time in basketball, Greg White. Greg also coached, he was assistant coach at UCLA. He coached at University of Charleston up the road here in our state capital. And I've gotten to know Greg through knowing Jim. I've gotten to make connections with other people, a coach in Myrtle Beach named Kenneth Thompson, who's really close with Kenny Anderson that played in the NBA. And Kenny Anderson was someone that Jim worked with when he was a shooting consultant for the New Jersey Nets in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've made these connections, and I've gotten to be friends with both his kids, who are just amazing people who are trying to carry on his spirit and everything. Like I said, his daughter wants to step up and do the podcast with me. So we're working on that and getting that going. It's hard because I miss him, and it's hard. It's going to be hard to not have him on the other side, on the other microphone, but I'm ready to do it. And he was so great, and I miss him so much.
Mm. Well, thanks for sharing him and sharing resilience with us. But before we let you go, we can't let you go without.
And now it's time for the Dudes and Dads Pop Quiz.
So those of you who have never joined us, this is the time that we are just going to pepper Randy with questions that he can't prepare for that have nothing to do with resilience. Let's hope this might build some resilience.
This is definitely a test of my own resilience. Well,
yeah. So, Joel, if you want to go first.
Absolutely. Randy, I'd like for you to share with us the most favorite vacation that you've ever been on.
Summer of 2023.
Oh, okay.
First summer after I married my second wife.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that we were going to take my son to Walt Disney World.
Okay.
And while it was a very miserable experience at times because June in Orlando not very nice weather. Sure. The heat is oppressive. The humidity is off the charts. You're sweating. You're uncomfortable. It still was amazing because I got to have that opportunity to spend that time with my son and with my wife and enjoy that experience. She's a Disney fanatic. She loves it. If we could go every summer, she'd go every summer.
My wife too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We both work in education, so, you know, not likely to happen. but it was a chance I got to take my son to Disney because he had never been.
That's awesome.
So it was an amazing vacation. I loved it. It was a 2-day drive because I'm not driving that trip from Milton, West Virginia in one day. But we had a good time with it, and it was amazing.
All right. Since I know you're a podcast guy, I'm a podcast guy. Joel likes listening to podcasts and producing podcasts. What are your top three podcasts that are in your playlist right now?
Number one is No Agenda.
Okay.
Adam Curry, the Podfather, John C. Dvorak. They've been doing it for 18 years. They're taking the mainstream media and breaking it down and showing why we're getting fooled by what's being presented to us daily. That and the fact that I've gotten to know Adam through exchanging messages and things with him, emailing back and forth. Adam's an awesome guy, and he's willing to help people. But No Agenda is always top of my list. One that I've discovered lately, And Adam's connected to this one, but it's called Young and Faithful. And it's a young man. He's 14 years old. He lives down in Fredericksburg, Texas, where Adam lives. He actually goes to the church that Adam now goes to. And his father is the associate pastor of the church. His name is Jonah Mandel. And it's just right now it's him and his friend Gage is on with him. And it's two teenagers talking about their relationship with God and their faith and how they're dealing with things in their life. Every week when it's out, I'm moving it up to the top of the list.
Awesome.
And then, you know, my buddy, Dave Jackson at the School of Podcasting, he's taught more people how to podcast than anybody else that I know. And I'm friends with him on Facebook, talk to Dave. Sometimes Dave's a good guy. Been on Ask the Podcast Coach with Dave. He's reviewed some of my shows and stuff with some of his stuff, but School of Podcasting, cause it keeps me in the loop. It keeps me with everything that's happening in podcasting. That's where I'm at with it. There's others. I listen to a lot of stuff, but that's the ones that are always there on my top three on the list.
Nice. Okay. For my next question, I'm going to ask do you outside of podcasting, what would you say your favorite hobby is there, Randy?
Because podcasting is my main hobby.
It is the main hobby.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, when I come home at night, I'm looking at stuff for podcasting when I'm, you know, building episodes or working on things. But I kind of got into looking at a lot of AI stuff just to get an idea of stuff, especially from the perspective. I'm not in a classroom anymore, so I'm not teaching daily, but I do work in a school system. I work in the technology department. So I kind of keep myself abreast of that kind of stuff. So that I know what's going on. AI is kind of a cool thing to play around with and look at. And you know, this is the worst it's going to be right now, unless everything collapses. So, you know, that's kind of a thing that I've started looking at and paying attention to.
Cool.
All right. Let's see here. I'm trying to dig back in my mind on some good ones.
Yeah. Going to the vault.
Yeah.
Sure. I'd get the sandwich one.
I was thinking of that one, but you prepared for that one, so how can I give you that one? Like, that's not.
No, I didn't prepare for it. I just thought I'd get it. I didn't really think about it.
Quizzy. I don't have the deck of cards with me. We have a deck of cards that has like different random questions on it, and I don't have that here in studio. All right, since you ask it, what's the Randy? If you're gonna make a sandwich that's named after you,
it's gonna start with a burger, maybe two patties, because. Not smash. I don't care for smash burgers. It's gotta be thick, you know, cooked, you know, medium well, that range. Well done's a little too much. Gotta have cheese, probably cheddar or Swiss. Definitely throw bacon on there. It gets even better if you can put some pulled pork. To keep it going. Throw some barbecue sauce on it. Lettuce, tomato, not an onion guy. Don't care. I like onion rings. Don't like raw onions, so no onion. Definitely no pickles. Pickles are the scourge of the earth.
Okay.
Do not enjoy them in any way. My wife makes homemade pickles, and I'm like, you just keep those over there. I'm not interested in those. So it's probably gonna be a burger built, you know, that way with some bacon and some barbecue on it as well.
Fantastic. Let's see here. My final question will be in the vein of we'll do the desert island. Randy, you find yourself trapped on a desert island. You are, however, permitted to have three items with you that and these don't have to be like these can be like they don't have to be like for your survival. So you don't have to think like critical, but like three things you want with you.
I like how you clarified that
on the desert. Well, because people get super practical, like, well, I should probably have like
water,
like water, and it's like, no. All that that defeats the purpose. Three things you want with you on the desert island, Randy. What do you think?
Well, number one, I'm going to have a Bible with me.
Okay,
because you know you have to stay connected. You have to stay connected with the Lord, or otherwise you're not going to make it.
Well, and you are on a desert island after all. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Probably at least one other pair of shorts and shirt and a shirt.
That's
just because, you know,
people never talk about the clothes. Yeah,
right. Sweaty.
People never talk.
You got to be able to change every once in a while, every couple days.
That's good.
You know, eventually you're going to become nose blind to yourself. So you still need to take that path. And probably like a big machete, maybe, so I can make sure I can cut a path if I need it, chop into a tree and knock it down. Get some bananas off a tree, something like that. Bananas off a plant, something like that. That's probably the route I'd go with us.
The machete.
Awesome. Nice. Okay. Well, Randy, you have successfully passed the Dudes and Dads Pop Quiz.
Congratulations.
Thanks for, thanks for playing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Awesome.
Well done. We haven't failed anybody yet, but there's always a chance. We never know the next guest.
We have to keep them wondering, will there be a failure?
Will there be a failure somewhere?
Will I be the failure?
Yeah, maybe so. Awesome. Well, hey, Randy, thanks so much for joining us. Yeah. Appreciate your time. And as always, friends, you can head over to dudesanddads.com for previous show episodes, the show notes, the goodies, whatever you want to find over there. Occasional merchandise.
Yes. And if you would like to give us a call, I'm going to go with the voicemail again.
Oh, fantastic.
574-501-4467 is our voicemail. And we love hearing your voice. So
we do.
Give us a call.
Yeah. Dudesanddadspodcast@gmail.com is a great place to email us with all of your show ideas, recommendations for future guests, harsh criticisms that you want to pass on to us so that we can feel better about ourselves.
Harsh criticisms.
I keep on asking for a few harsh criticisms. Not a single one. We're not living on the edge.
Are you really a podcaster until you get one?
Yeah, right.
I didn't say we haven't had one. I just said we haven't had anyone lately.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Get with it, people.
Criticize us.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, we wish you grace.
And peace.